Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of shine. Smoky in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Welcome to episode 428 of Fourth and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Primo, a.k.a. Prime, a.k.a. Lucky, a.k.a. Luciano in the building. You know, obviously we're going to talk about some topics we don't really want to talk about, but everyone is starting to give their two cents about our head coach and Jalen Hurts. And again, these reporters... I'm going to be honest with you. These reporters are doing their job. They are doing enough to get sound bites and then go on the radio and then speak for hours about said comments. These are professional reporters. So you at the end of the day, you have to hat tip them for doing the work for their bosses. They want you to go out there, get a sound bite that makes everyone crazy. I said, if you heard Joe DiCamera on WIP, not that I'm calling people, I'm just calling what it is. Joe DiCamera was really up in his feels about this. You know, obviously I didn't see the presser until later. But just the fact that, you know, people are like, go see the presser. I mean, I didn't take it to heart like some people on the timeline are like offended by, bro. Like it's early. We haven't had any real news yet, and I feel like people are trying to make something out of nothing. But I think there is something there that enough for us to do podcasts. We don't just do podcasts. We need to talk about something and get it off our chest. We're gonna get it off our chest today. But how are you feeling, Ev? Are you feeling grand?
Not great, Gail. I'm okay. I wish that these kind of stories weren't circulating. You know, we talk about for weeks now since the drafts, we've talked about how good this team looks on paper, how we are built to win right now, and how realistically you could be built to win and then it could all just come crashing down if your guys aren't all locked in. So, I mean, I totally get that this is the outside perspective. This is being viewed by a lot of people as, you know, radio stations trying to get clicks in the offseason, which has happened before. But what else has happened before is there's been times where we've had who we thought was the franchise quarterback here. And then a reporter by the name of Joe Santoliquido put a report out that he wasn't vibing with the team and everybody tore him to shreds. And then years later, come to find out he was dead right in everything that he said. I think that there was definitely, I'm not going to try and bash my former company here, but I'm gonna. I think that when WIP puts something out, it feels more clickbaity sometimes. And then when 97.5 is kind of following up with the same story, and then you go and look at the interview and you look at how he answered it. And I kind of consider the fact too that Jalen Hurts, up until this point in his career, has been super calculated in everything that he says. And he has been like to the point where last year, you know, it felt like when we were losing that we wanted to hear more out of him. But he was calculated. He had his little poems that he wanted to say, his creative ways of explaining what was going wrong. But I've always viewed Jalen Hurts as a guy that is super calculated in everything he wants to say. And I feel like he didn't have a very calculated answer for this question. So that doesn't make me feel all right. It kind of just, I think that this is a problem that's solvable. But I'm nervous because I feel like I've seen this before. It feels like deja vu.
Interesting take. I mean, we spoke prior to the show, and again, it is what it is. I love to hear what Prime has to say on this.
I'm kind of thrown off. Like, I don't know. I don't feel the same way. I feel like this was just something, you know, the media just likes to do. They just like to try to find something. I think they were just attacking the situation and trying to get these two to have some type of beef. I don't know. Are they bored? Are they trying to look for some content or something? Like, I'm just not getting it. I listened to some of the questions that, you know, I get it. Jalen didn't have an answer for them. I mean, especially he had a long pause on one of the answers, and it was just wild to see. But I'm taking it as, like, he was avoiding a dumb question to be asking. Like, come on, man, let me just be in here doing what I need to do, stay focusing on what I need to stay focused on, which is football. And it's like, you want to find a soap opera, you want a series of a soap opera to go on in here. And this is not what, you know, I build my whole career on. I build my whole career to come and play, make money, put food on the table, not to give you a weekly or a daily series of a soap opera that you're digging real hard to try to find. It's ridiculous, man. But you know, like, I heard Nick spoke highly of everything that was going on in the OTAs. He was speaking highly about Jalen. And then he was talking highly about how much fun he's having in OTAs. He's having a good time trying to find that new players, the new scheme. Yeah, he mentioned about how much of a percentage this whole offense changed. And I really am not mad at that. I'm glad that they decided to take all of last year, crumple that bitch up and toss it and start fresh. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, come on, like, let's like really stay focused on what really needs to be focused on.
I agree with you, but there is just a couple things. Like, I think that you talk about, you think that Jalen Hurts is approaching it where he thinks that, you know, he just wants to show up and play football. But if that's the case, like, I don't know why he doesn't, when asked this question, just nip it in the bud and give a corporate answer and be like, you know what, Nick is adjusting great to this. You know, everything's going smoothly. He didn't do that. And just the way that his, maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe I'm no better than the rest. I'm admitting that, but wow. I'm saying just my takeaway, what I thought in how he answered the question, the body language, I'm just kind of sitting there thinking that he was thinking the same thing that I've been saying on the show, which is that, what does Nick Sirianni really do? That's kind of what I was thinking that Jalen was thinking. And so if Jalen's thinking that was already something that I had been thinking. So,
but Ev, you said you left. How long ago did you leave WIP? How long ago was that separation? Okay, so then leave it back there. All right, get that WP attitude out of your system. All right.
Well, I don't know. Let me read the quote for the people who have not, like, heard the BS that is being out there. On Thursday, he was asked what he noticed about Sirianni being open-minded enough to change the offense by turning it over to Kellen Moore, the new offensive coordinator. Hurts said, there was a long pause, then a little chuckle before Hurts began again. He said, I mean, that's a great question. I don't know that I know the answer to it, he said. The follow-up, then he tried again and said, I think he's been great. He said the messages he's been delivering to the team, he's trying to be very intentional with what he's saying. He paused and he said, yeah. But I don't think the beat writers were like, that was good enough for them. And again, he might not have understood the question right off the hand. Like,
very possible.
And people are going to lengths to create content off of. But like Eagle fans, we think about the past. We think about some beat writers were bringing up the past in terms of last year and where they stood after, you know, we as Eagle fans were sitting there watching the presser. And they had asked Hurts about Sirianni's future. This they asked him three times. They said they asked him if he wanted the Eagles head coach, Jalen. They asked if they wanted the Eagles head coach back, and Jalen said, "I didn't know he was going anywhere." And then they informed that there was plenty of speculation Sirianni's job was in jeopardy. Hurts replied, "I didn't know that." And then finally, he was asked if he had any confidence in him to fix the Eagles' late season free falling heading into 2024. Hurts said, "I have a ton of confidence in everyone in this building." So I think Eagle beat writers trying to tie some things together. Assume. You know what happens when you assume?
I know what happens. Yeah. My mom told me 500 times.
in various ways, too.
Back in the day, Evan did work for WIP. Uh-huh. But again.
Yo, I will say, though.
Teach his own.
If I can give one tip of my hat to them, the Tasty Cake Snack Closet. Yeah, you guys crushed it with that partnership. I loaded my bag up when I left.
This guy. Frugal game.
I'm going to go out with a bang.
I'm leaving here with something. So I said.
Bob from Down Under says he hates him. My answer to all this is like, as messy as you saw things last year, it had to happen. Like, that's exactly what you see. The results are exactly what happened behind the scenes. Like, that, like the results on the field were behind the scenes. That's if they don't get it together, if they're not on the same page, Sirianni spoke in his presser about, you could be the greatest team on paper, but if you have no culture, the culture brings you, elevates you. The culture of like a Corey Clement coming out of nowhere, but just so being a
Sirianni here strictly for culture. He's
I'm saying like he's got to. I mean, to get those guys to the Super Bowl last year, the culture was good here.
Was good here. I think we were carried by talent.
You didn't think the culture was good the year before?
The year before.
And the year before
the Super Bowl, yeah.
But that's why I'm saying last year had to happen, because you're like, I don't care how much talent you have on paper, if the culture is no good and you're having issues behind the scene, they know what that looks like. They know what it looks like to be a championship team and get there, and they now know what it looks like if you guys are on the same page and still have a loaded roster. So, thoughts?
I mean, like, it's just you can't fault the man for talking about he wants to come in here and do things a little bit differently. He mentioned that he's kind of like taking a step back on just focusing on one, two, maybe certain players. He's trying to focus on all his players. He's mentioned about being in the defensive room. He's mentioned about being in the special teams room, the running back room, the quarterback room. He's trying to spread that out a whole lot more, where they felt like people felt like he was just focusing on certain players he wanted to focus on. I don't know, man. I just, again, with the way things fell apart at the middle part of the season last year, for him to come back and try something different, to be able to get back to building that culture again. Cause I mean, you mentioned it and I caught that too. He was real clear about you not going to be that Super Bowl team just by being talent. It's all about the culture. It's all about building that family. You're spending 18 weeks and more with these guys, you know what I mean? So it's like, this is something you got to build. And in order to get back to that promised land, you know what I mean, you got to be strong going through the whole season together. So I don't know. I mean, I'm all about a restart, man. This is just how I look at it. It's a restart. We definitely needed it, because I'm not trying to go through that shit we went through last year. That's all I'm saying. Like, I don't know.
You trying to blow in the cartridge?
The only thing I can think about.
A little clack.
The Eagles have a great way of making the fans forget about, you know, how a previous season ended by doing splash plays in the offseason. But let's take ourselves back to the last time the Philadelphia Eagles were actually on the field, when they just rolled over and died in the playoffs. I look at that collapse, and I don't know how you can't hold. That looked like, to me, a team that wasn't playing for their head coach anymore. And I, like, a team that collapses like that, like, I don't know, man. I just, I, I think that there's still a problem within. There's something that hasn't been addressed yet.
I truly agree with you, but was it really that they fell apart, not wanting to play for Sirianni, or was it the coaching staff in general? Because I mean, like
Brandon Graham mentioned, right? Recently.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, did the defense give up on Patricia and what's his name? And did the offense give up on? Brian Johnson. That's my question. Like, I get what you're saying. They did give up, obviously, but I don't know if it was all on Nick Sirianni.
But like, if we're talking about like Sirianni is the guy that's supposed to establish that culture. So like, he's supposed to be, if these guys are failing, he's supposed to be grabbing these guys and recouping them, regluing it all back together. And I get that, like, we were seriously hampered by our coordinators last year, but that wasn't like we lost a close game. No, at the end of that season, we gave up.
The body language to me, I mean, this is again from us traveling on the road and being there on the sidelines and actually seeing the stuff you don't see on camera, the body language of some of the players. You could remember that point when the Rams game, when Devontae had took that long, he sat on the other side of the, not even on the bench. So he could have been in the locker room. He was, and then you saw that from Dallas Goedert. You saw the, you know, AJ and they make something out of everything. But then you saw Big Dom being pulled from the field. A lot of things did happen and transpire, but I do at the end of the day, I do think these players and coaches have a year end meeting. This is your opportunity. Yeah, like all the teams that I played on, like in college, you have that year end where your coach tells you exactly what's been going on throughout the year that has been agitating you. And that's your opportunity to say what the hell has been bothering you. So obviously you know, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni had a talk. I can guarantee you they had a talk. How do you feel the season went? Where could you improve? And if we think the relationship is as close as we think it is, I think they had that talk. I think they had that talk, to be honest.
But at the same time, do you think if anything really transpired between these two, wouldn't it have came out any sooner?
I mean, if there was other, like he was, if he was avoiding his coach in the locker room, I haven't heard anything crazy. I mean, we heard crazy stuff, but I'm just saying.
We have, but I feel like they're just reaching to go ahead and try to find something.
Yeah.
That's all. That's just the way I'm looking at this whole situation. I'm seeing the comments. I'm seeing people talking about, like Mark mentioning, opening up old wounds. That's not what we're trying to do. And I don't really think we're going to go down that route, man. Again, the crazy part is, like, before we even started the show, I told Gail, it's crazy how our own area media is really digging into this shit. It's not like outside people, outside media. This is our own, you know, area media that's really digging into this shit. And it's sad, man. It really is sad. So
I was watching the pressers and be like, it's funny because they give these are well-credited reporters access to the team. And it's almost like you open the team up. I mean, every team has media. Every reporter is looking for a quote, a juicy story. I mean, we've had many a juicy story, and we never went to it. Like, but again, I feel like the difference between us and other outlets, we might have something, but you kind of like want to protect the team. Me personally, I always feel like a personal. It's my squad, man. I'm not trying to bring no drama to this team. But some reporters be like, oh, I got one, and I'm going to drop it on what day? The day of the playoff game. I'll drop that on the morning of the playoff game. Give me some clicks. And we don't have to do that here. But, again, people have jobs, and here we are talking about it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I kind of just feel that I don't know anything for sure, but I kind of feel like it feels more like the start of drama than it feels like the end of drama. Like, I feel like we still got to go through the woods, and I'm still waiting for other shoes to drop, it feels like. So.
And talking in tongues here. Jay says, if I was set up for failure last week week in and week out, I have nothing to say about Sirianni too. My thing about if we're talking about Jalen's relationships with his offensive coordinators, Jalen is in. It's weird to say Jalen's going into his fifth year as an Eagle. In his 3 years in college, he's had different offensive coordinators, and then he's on his fourth offensive coordinator in his fifth year in the league.
It's insane, man.
So
and talk he had about, that kind of turnover in college as well.
Yeah. So talk about a guy who's I'm not gonna say learning on the fly, but you think after knowing the offense last year, you know, like that offense was stale. We saw it. The whole stadium saw it. Your grandma, your grandpop, your dad or mom would. We were all talking about the same offense the same way. We needed new pieces. And listening to Jalen, he said 95% of this offense is pretty new. Is that exciting to you?
It is exciting when you think about just how, you know, we really got stale last year. And like you think about the from the Niners game and Bosa talking about how, you know, we found out the Eagles, we essentially gave the playbook up. If that was legitimately the case, like how it actually felt like it was, then yeah, we need a completely new playbook. But I think that Devontae Smith said in one of his pressers recently, I mean, everybody's running the same plays. Like, you know, it's a lot of the same concepts. So while the playbook might be changing, the concepts, they stay the same. Every team's using them. And that's why I think, you know, while Jalen Hurts has had a lot of different offensive coordinators in his career, I think that the fact that he is so versatile allows for him to have a simpler playbook, which in turn allows, you know, like option runs like that. That's Jalen Hurts' bread and butter. You think about options with Saquon Barkley in the backfield, man. That's deadly.
Well, even just the small nuances of the offense, or where A.J. Brown has spoke on it, like some of these routes can be optioned off now. It could be different the way they're run. I think the fact that they left them with no outlets, you guys got guys running down the field. No one's coming back. No one, where the safety valves were missing a lot of these plays. They just seem off. Tracy Ann says a lot of what Nick has given over to Kellen is behind the scenes, stuff that players don't really see. It's possible that Jalen isn't seeing a huge difference in Nick's role. I think, you know, he talked about his relationship between Milton Williams and Jalen Hurts, and it's not equal. Like, you do have to be in tune with your quarterback. Yeah. And I think Nick is still going to be hands on. It's in any team.
Do you think Milton Williams hearing that quote was sitting there like the 50 Cent meme? Talking about me for?
What I do?
Just such a random.
Todd says, "Why do we do this to ourselves?" I don't think. I think, you know, the media's got a media, right? You know, it's this is what makes the.
If you're in here in June, you care, you eat, breathe, and die Philadelphia Eagles. That's exactly what we're doing. We're talking about the stories that are coming out of the team.
Now, Dakota says he thinks Kellen ends up being the head coach sooner than later.
Dude, I'm so sick of the turnover, man. I'm so sick of the turnover.
Oh, I did mention that on a couple podcasts ago. I'm like, you have a coach in the glass. Like, this is the guy. I mean, imagine if you go to your job, right, and you and some other guy interview for the same editor job. You're like, all right, I want this job. You're sitting in the waiting room. You look over, you're like, oh, what's up, dude? You're going for that job interview, and that guy, you beat that guy out for the job. And then 3 years later, this guy is in your office, and you're like, okay. What's up, bro? I remember you at the interview process. I got the job, but you're here now with your fingers on it. Does that make you feel a certain way? Be honest.
I guess.
Prime you. Does that make you feel a certain way?
Yes, it has.
Ooh, Dakota, the lawyer Dakota, with a point in the comments. It could be spicy, but it's all good. You know, I feel like. Either way you look at it, the offense was stale. We needed a boost.
I don't know, man. Like if Kellen Moore becomes the what's it called, the head coach, that means that this didn't work out again. And
Chase has a question.
It was a hypothetical question, though. We're not going down that route. You are like halfway into the hole right now. You're not peeking in. You're halfway in. Like, relax. Let me pull you back out, bro.
So Chase says, "Hey man, why Ev so damn negative?"
It's I got scars, bro. I mean, this team has won it all for me one time. I've seen it collapse way more times.
How old
than I
were
have
you
it.
When the Eagles won the Super Bowl? 25?
Yeah, something like that.
This guy waited, what, till he was 25 to get it?
It was 25 years. We waited longer.
What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, what is 25 years? Listen, all I'm going to say is we're going to go ahead and remember today, 6-11, 24, because when it comes to the middle of the season, beginning of the season, end of the season, I'm guarantee you, Evan's gonna have a whole different.
Hey man, Gail just got you. Gail, I don't think you realize you're proving my point. Yeah, I waited 25 years. How long did you wait? Like that's the entire point. We continually don't show up.
Conversations that people my age, the wildfire user. At least I got one before I die.
Okay, well I want more. Sorry for being greedy.
No, you're not. I'm being greedy with you. I'm not satisfied with one. If things would have went a little bit better, we probably could have been at least halfway or three quarters of the way catching up with these other teams. Real talk.
But that's just the thing is that, like, I realize that I'm being negative. I realize I'm going down rabbit holes. But you have to acknowledge that I watched – we're talking about the same exact thing. We talked about the 2018 Super Bowl that we won. And that was something that like I was happy that my grandfather was able to see that before he passed. There was people that waited their entire lives for that shit. And then we fired the head coach 2 years later. That's unheard of. That shit happens here. So, like, that's why I'm sitting here and all these rumors are circulating. Maybe they are just made up for the sake of clicks. But I've seen it go south before.
My brother has a good point here. In the comments, he says, the media plays to our darkest insecurities. Yeah. Ev, do you think about this often?
100%. They're definitely always like. There's always you go to the grocery store and you see what is that one magazine, the Global Enquirer. They've always got the wildest headlines of shit, aliens invading. Yeah. Like that, all that is they're trying to make sales, man. And I get that. That's the media's angles. They got to get money in the door, but their job is also to report the news. That's also what they do.
Like I remember, you know, again, I always go back to my time at NBC Sports when I was a draft analyst and having to, like, write stories. You know, if they say if it bleeds, it reads. So you had to, like, pick these stories with, like, a slant. So you had to, like, it's just – but now that I don't have to do that, I just feel like now that I don't have to do that, I feel like, you know, I feel better about myself. I can sleep at night, Ev.
Yeah.
Now, Jay says, has a question. He says, would you guys consider to try and trade Slay and Bradbury?
I don't want too much turnover there for sure. I would definitely keep Slay. He's a starter. Bradbury is a guy that, I mean, we're talking about. Slay is legitimate. Slay has held up his end of the contract. He's a good player. Obviously we got Quinyon Mitchell coming in. I don't want him to be hindered in his growth, and Cooper DeJean. And we got the guys from last year, you know, Keely Ringo. I think that, and Isaiah Rogers, I think that there's just too many horses in the barn right now. And Bradbury, for the money he's going to be getting. Yeah. You trade.
Go ahead, bro. Just keep mentioning those names, because if you hear it in your voice, you get more and more excited as you mention those names.
I do.
You do, right? This is good therapy for you. This is great therapy for you.
So Bob is having his therapeutic ways in the comments. As he says, Hurst's attitude toward the coach and game plan trickles down to the other youth. It reeks of immaturity. Who else is immature? Nick swears at fans and cries Sirianni.
That was the nickname. Nick swears at fans and cries Sirianni.
Doesn't really roll off the tongue.
I remember last year I had spoken to it was when we got back from KC, and I bumped into a beat writer, and he said that I'm not gonna say who, but Sirianni went up to them and referenced a tweet of theirs right after they beat the Chiefs, and I was like what? I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, what? I said, that was a big win. We were, I think Prime is still cold.
Yeah.
From that game. But to think about Sirianni, like referencing a tweet he saw by a beat writer and having to go up to the beat writer and say, who's the better quarterback in QB now? And I was like, that's a funny one though. But because I feel funny. Like.
But you see it happen across the board. Don't you remember the video of Howie?
Yeah, but I'm saying head coach. Yeah. Like, I couldn't see Tom Landry or like certain coaches in the league, Bill Belichick, going up to a beat writer and being like, yo, man, look, I saw what you wrote about me.
After watching that roast, I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Belichick behind closed doors actually does act like that.
Well, I see in that wild clip of him leaving somebody's door the other day.
Leaving someone's door?
He was leaving someone's house, and the Ring camera caught him without a shirt on. You saw that?
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that.
Yeah, no.
Belichick funny. Living his life, man. He's at the old head crisis.
Now, Sports King says, well, I'm waiting to see how Hurts said it's a lot of new inventory. 95% of it's new, so we may need to study his answer. My thing with people looking at the practice and being like, I mean, this is a narrative like the Eagles are struggling. With the offense, it's a new offense. Like, what? Yeah. Don't you realize that we're running a variation of what Fangio ran last year? Like, this offense will take time, but bro, we're gonna see under the center runs.
Yeah,
this is gonna be amazing.
It is.
We're gonna have Saquon Barkley, who's well versed in explosive runs since 2018. He's one of the top. So that should be exciting. We're going to see jet motion screens where guys get the screen while they're
in motion.
We're not going to see Quez Watkins standing there and like
waiting for the
Sirianni
ball.
Yelling and throwing his clipboard because Quez didn't. It's going to be different, a little bit different. So I think what are you most excited about with this new offense?
Being proved wrong.
Oh, are you scared? Are you concerned?
No, I'm just being a bitch. it's Saquon Barkley is what I'm excited about. I mean, he's a guy that like when he got drafted, we obviously had no chance of getting him because we were flying high. You know, coming that was the year after we won the Super Bowl was his draft, right? In 2018?
I believe so, yes.
So, you know, it was a guy that we never had a chance of getting. And when I saw him go to the Giants instead and be in our division, like, dude, it sucked because I knew he was going to be an elite player. It's also a player that, like, I'm not just saying this because he's on the Eagles now, but, like, he's one of those guys that even while he was a Giant, like, it's a hard not to root for him type of guy. Like, a guy that you like on the other team. So the fact that we have him now and, it's not a running back by committee and it's more so just a bell cow. I'm pumped for that.
Yeah. It's facts, bro. I mean, like you gotta give the man respect even when he was on the opposing team. Like I remember when we were clearly at that Eagles Giants game, we were beating their asses, but then he ended up breaking what a 67 yard run, throwing the deuces up. I actually love seeing that play. Like, yo, like, you know what I mean? I ain't going to lie. Shit, I came to MetLife to actually see you play just as well. And look, you gave me a highlight and I'm thankful for it. And you always got to give respect to the man. But now that he's with us, shit, it's like you said earlier, man, we got options. We got options with Jalen and with Saquon. So that's definitely going to go ahead and throw a lot of defenses off. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I also remember being in the stands with Gail, and when we saw our first motion last year, we got excited. We were two little kids, like, yo, we just saw a motion happen. Like, and but now we're going to probably be so accustomed to seeing that a lot this year. And again, something to look forward to. So that's why I'm not really feeding into all this shit, all this them trying to find some negativity. There's still a lot of like greatness that's about to come out of this season. I really have a great feeling about it, bro. So whatever I got to do to go ahead and get your host back up, Evan, I'm going to be focused on doing that, bro.
I appreciate you. Hey, I appreciate you.
But like, I mean, the fact this is the topic of conversation, did anyone see the roster? Did anybody check the roster? Like who we got on this team? It's kind of crazy that this offseason, what we got, and now we got to talk about what a host is fired up about, or like, I find it like, I get it. I totally get the media machine.
Don't you think though that there's more to it when it's not just a single report that and then everybody's like shitting on that report and being like, dude, why are you trying to start something that isn't there? And then it's starting to be picked up by multiple outlets, and you're sitting here looking like, maybe there is a little bit more something to it.
That Marcus says, you know, there's an issue when Hurts and AJ start making up plays with the game on the line. In Seattle. This is a Seattle game the one thing is that Sirianni he put that on him before we even knew that play was a thing. That's kind of a major coach thing to do. Like he could have threw his players under the bus. He didn't, but then I believe AJ came out and said that we were doing our own thing on that play. So that was very transparent of him. But I think if anyone that saw this offense throughout the season, at the end of the season, I think
I don't blame him for not trusting it. Yeah,
I wouldn't trust it, which is tough because I mean, bad scene last year. Sportskin asks, he says, what do we do if the offense is popping and we win the Super Bowl?
Stop it right there. We celebrate. Then we worry about whatever the rest of the question is afterwards.
Yeah, good question. What do we do? I mean, you keep your offensive coordinator. Jalen will be on to his, fifth offensive coordinator in 6 years. But, hey, we got a ring at the end of the day. We gotta speak that.
You're saying you would keep Kellen if we won a Super Bowl?
No, Kellen. Kellen would automatically
He's gonna get. He's gonna get offered a coaching job.
He would get. That's how it works around here.
For sure,
our talent gets plucked.
Sure. And you can't necessarily, even though we recognize that as a major issue when Steichen left, and you know our offense losing a key contributor, there's not much you could do, because if Sirianni got you to the Super Bowl a couple years ago and he's the head coach and he wins a Super Bowl this year, I mean, we're talking about him being a glue guy, setting the culture. Then he did all the things that he was supposed to do. If he's the head coach of this team and they win a Super Bowl, you have to give him credit for it. But if they end up collapsing, I also have to hold that on him.
Absolutely. He's got to be held accountable for that. So, you know, I mean, this is definitely going to be an interesting year for him.
Heather asked in the chat, she needs a graphic of the Belichick pick. if you Google Belichick with shirtless, I don't want to see, you know.
I don't need the FBI thinking I'm into that.
Yo, this guy's really into shirtless Belichick. I don't know.
Put him on a list. He belongs on a list. He's looking this shit up.
Yeah, we've been flagged.
Bob from Down Under asking about Stoutland's comments on Steam. Oh my god, dude, he's got a his ass crack goes all the way up to his fucking shoulder.
Oh man, shout out to Babs on the mic. He's been to he's done content with Fords and John. He's the one that broke this story. Go ahead.
I was asking about this comment that Stoutland had talked about Steen. I had seen Stoutland talk about Steen. I didn't hear the part where he said he was the lock and next Brandon Brooks.
Well, he mentioned Brandon Brooks, but players talk about it. They say they can tell immediately if a player has it or doesn't have it. Like, there's things that a player does. I've seen players on the field that I'm like, bro, you don't belong here. So I feel like if Stoutland has seen something, I mean, Kelsey mentioned Fuaga. He mentioned he saw some stuff he did at the combine. He said, "Yo, that guy's gonna be a player." There's some players you see certain things, how they move. But hey, I mean, he's got the build for it. Like he's definitely got the guard build. And if he's got the traits that strengths, you know, whatever he likes, that one has a plan. So I'm not too mad about that. Wealthy Mind says, first off, Jalen had to comp Sirianni down during the Super Bowl. How quickly forget this fact? Google if you have to. He had I remember it was almost like when you're too hype at the supermarket and your mom has to or dad has to like, yo, relax.
They got gushers.
relax, all right. Behave yourself.
I play that role. Don't worry about it. you can use me.
What's little man's snack of choice there?
What isn't his snack? Oh my god! Damn kid is in everything.
You know, he's part raccoon because I've seen him climb.
Listen, bro. Every morning he's climbing up the counter. All right, we done put the donuts and the snacks on top of the refrigerator. The kid done figured it out now. It's a wrap. Yeah, it's a wrap.
And a cool tone says, man, it'd be your own people. Philly media gonna drive these players. I think it just takes a certain type of player. Kelsey described that player in one of his pressers or in his retirement speech. It takes a certain type of player to, because the media is on not 10, it's on 12. And if you think they're slipping, this is when they sucker punch you with some random question. You'd be like, yo, I was having indigestion. That's where the pause came from. And then it's a, well, he paused too long.
Okay, but let's just hypothetically let's just throw something out there. Eagles start off 0-2.
Whoa, come on now.
I was throwing that one out there. Do you think there could be a Josina Anderson 2.0 situation going on in the locker room?
Nah.
But I don't think
we're not going. We're not going 0-2, bro. Stop. We're not going 0-2.
But anyways,
say so. Mark from Oregon says someone needs to
drive. God, I haven't seen that in a long time.
Someone needs to drive in Philly and give Evan a hug.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
I don't know about that, man. I'm feeling excited. I was on a Cowboys blog. I'm not going to give them any press or anything, but that. I always like to read into their thought process and how they were like, oh, Eagle fans are out here on the timeline talking about like how excited they are about Kellen's offense. What did he do for us? And then they throw the stats. We're top five in this. We're top. Did you see what we were running last year? Anything that is different from last year is 100% better than what we had last year. So anything that we have is 50% better than last year is amazing to me. It's amazing to me. How many years have we been asking for under center Jalen? It runs.
Dude, you know what is the bullshit of it, though? Because, like, it's the scars, man. It's the scars of the past. And I think that the scars of the past, we could start this season off 8-0. And there will be people that are naysayers and be like, all right, well, started out 10-1 last year. You're telling me that's not going to happen? Like, right. When the Eagles do this shit, it creates a scar that you can't not think about as a fan.
Yo, some people are like, I think we got to lose before we get into the playoffs. Just so we can,
it was insane.
We all
went through that. We all mentioned that. We all were like, you know, damn, we needed to get that one out the way. You know what I mean? And hopefully we can get back on a run. Well, yeah, that felt short in a very long way. But yeah, it's like now this season is the new goal is to get past the halfway of the season. We could go 10-0 again and nobody's really going to be excited because of the last year's downfall. So when we go ahead and either go 12-0 or 13-0, then that's when I go ahead and start praising. You know what I mean? But right now it's going to be crazy. We're not probably going to get real excitement until halfway into the season.
And I'll tell you what though, man. Like if you can look back on last season honestly though, like a lot of the things that the outside fan bases were saying, like, oh, you know, like barely won these. If I see a blowout win, if I see some blowout wins early in this year, I'm in. You start out the season strong as hell and you blew out some teams. I mean, how could you not dive in and believe? I think that there was a lot of games, if you go back and look at last season, that we kind of, you know, they were closer than they should have been.
I think they won on, despite the scheme, I thought they won on pure guts and ability. And I think at the end of the day, when one team figures something out, the rest of the league will use it. And even Lane Johnson said after the 49ers game, you know, seemed like we were figured out. They figured something out. And again, you can't just be one dimension. I think when you see a guy like Saquon Barkley in here, he makes your offense not one-dimensional. You got two wide receiver ones, and you got a great tight end. Now you have a phenomenal running back that can close things out. I think that's a big deal. I think that's a big difference in our offense. I think you have a closer. Everyone's going to say, you know, Saquon, was Swift better than this? Come on. Saquon is Saquon. Like, even as an Eagle fan looking at Saquon, I know he dealt with some injuries, but some of the explosive stuff, I think he could bring that to our offense. So I think, you know, what else is going to be explosive and amazing is going to be this trip to Brazil. It's August 30th to September 8th.
Coming up, man. A couple months.
Yeah, coming up. And I'm trying to get some Brazilian Eagle fans on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
I already spoke to some. Some have reached out. I want to say this. First of all, let me just talk about the trip. It's going to be amazing. We're going to be there in Rio first and then Sao Paulo. Make sure you go to phillysportstrips.com. Make sure you follow at sportstripsphl for more information. Reach out to Vince over at Philly Sports Trips. Doing a great job putting this trip together. But just in terms of the Brazilian Eagle fans, I've got it from the same message from 30 different people at the same time last week about how you got to be worried about the gangs and the Brazilians. We've talked about it on the podcast ourselves and people in the comments. They are upset. I'm saying Brazilian Eagle fans are upset with the American sports media. They said, we're not going to go into your school shootings. We're going to, you know, we could go there, but we're not. Like, we Brazilians are, we're not some kind of they understand that this game is not the you know, their rivals. Like, they understand it's the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Brazilians, they want to tell you they're going to be wearing their green Eagles jersey too. All right, so hopefully we can get them on next week. So they can say it from their chest. So I just don't want,
that'd be pretty cool.
There's a lot of misinformation going out there about. Again, I was in Times Square at work a week ago. Someone got attacked with a machete on 45th Street while I was getting my lunch. Okay, so
hey, Gail, get out of left field. I'm over here in center.
It happens everywhere.
Speaking of addressing rumors, you got to address the fan scale because the rumors are circulating. Is it true that for the content, for the brand, you will be getting a Brazilian wax at the trip?
Ooh. Pretty. I'm a big fan of all the hair on my body, so we're not waxing anything.
I thought we were all about the content here.
Hey, we could do it. We could do a bet.
Oh, man.
What's I'm going to wear my green and nothing's going to happen to me.
Brought to you by Manson.
And if nothing happens to me, you guys
What are you wearing? Your Kelly green or you wearing your regular green?
I'm wearing the whole nine. I'm wearing green kicks. Okay. It's going to happen.
You're fine with that green. You're right, but you're fine with that green.
Yo, Gail came back from Brazil with a BBL, bro. What the hell happened, man? We caught an L. Now we're 0-2. Gail's got a BBL.
Yeah,
wow. But I'm serious about the Brazilians. Are very angry with you, sports media. I didn't buy into it.
No, yeah, it's I always thought it was a little bit silly, the idea that these people would come in and just kill anybody wearing green because the rival team wears that.
Come on, man.
If it was all like that, they would have never even scheduled this game. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm pretty sure everybody did their homework before all this even happened.
You should see the text that I've gotten. My friends that are from other fan bases are like, hey, bro, I know you're going down there. I just want to let you know. You're like the 30th person I've replied to. I'm sending the Brazilian Eagle fans DMs to them. I'm like, this is what they're saying. Okay.
Hey,
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. We're going to change the topic because it's been highly intense. Evan's been in his feels. I almost feel like, you know, I'm not going to say that we're the America's team, but I'm going to say we're a pretty popular team. Shout out to my boy John, his AKA Bubba, his son from Connecticut, is just sent him out his first pair of Eagles customs.
Nice,
because he became a diehard Eagle fan. He said, "I don't know what you did when you hung out with my son when we were playing basketball that day, but he's an Eagle fan now. I don't know what happened." He's like, if you can make him some Eagles shoes, maybe I'm sealing the deal. But I think Eagles worldwide, you got West Coast Hoop Nation out there on the West Coast. You got them up in Seattle, Northwest Bird Gang. I think I have a sticker on my desk. Yeah, I do have. Shout out to the group out in Seattle. There's Eagle fan groups all over the country. I think we do have one of the we have talked about Jalen Hurts ad nauseum on this podcast. He is our quarterback, but he leads the NFL in merchandise sales.
Ow.
That's kind of a flex, right? I mean, Dak doesn't.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes doesn't, but Jalen Hurts has the number one leading in merch.
And I think that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think that a big part of that has just been the dominance that we've started off the past two seasons with. I mean, the past 2 years, the starts we had, we were hotter than any NFL team. And, you know, I think that Jalen Hurts kind of putting the team on his back, being with the whole tush push thing. I don't know. I think he's a different kind of player. He's one of the more dynamic quarterbacks that the league has seen in recent years. So it makes sense to me. I think that he's, and he's also, you know, he's, I don't know. He's a leader.
Act like you ain't that shit hurt, man. No, listen, it all goes back to that first game when he came in against Green Bay, and he was the underdog. He came and he did his thing, and he's been doing his thing ever since. Yeah, he had a downfall last season, but I mean, come on, like, nobody in this league is perfect, unless, you know, you're Tom Brady, but I can't believe I said that. But yeah, you know, it's the truth though. Like, all those maps that they used to put out last year about the most selling jerseys or the most popular teams in the country, I just feel like all that shit was bullshit. Like, I wanted to hit the refresh button all the time when every time they posted that shit out on the TVs or on the media or on Twitter and all that. I'm like thinking, like, nah, there ain't no fucking way. Because all you hear is Jalen Hurts. All you hear is the Eagles. And I be telling people that, like, yo, we're coming up. And look, I'm just glad the facts is actually out there now. Top selling jersey. The man, you know, is being talked about all the time. And look, and going into the season, I feel like we're going to give him more to talk about, bro.
So I'm going to ask you the question. Since you guys already gave the answer away, who the top selling jersey is. So there's four other players, you know, there's four other players on this list. Can you name the other four players on this list? I'll go
back and forth.
Okay, yeah, Primo. Go ahead, Primo.
No, I'm gonna leave a name that I think Evan's gonna already say. So I'm gonna say Dawkins is definitely another name that's out there.
Guys that played last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it just guys that played last year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, guys that played last year. So then you have AJ Brown, Jason Kelsey, and
you got two of them.
Darius Slay. No.
I'm going to say Devontae. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Now we have three. We have three now. Go ahead.
And then I'm going to say.
Don't even use the chat. Don't use the chat.
I wasn't. Carter.
Carter, no.
Kelsey, AJ, Devontae.
Mm-hmm.
Malata's the fourth?
Nope.
Jake Elliott?
I said, my man Rick Lovato. Long snapping the hell out of that ball.
You guys said Cox. So we have Jalen Hurts, we have Jason Kelsey. AJ,
Devontae Smith.
Yep.
BG.
Nope.
Wow.
It's a current Eagle on this squad.
Bradbury.
That wasn't on this team last year.
Chauncey Gardner Johnson.
No.
Barkley.
Nope.
Josh Huff. No.
Oh, that is a good question. That you said Barkley, right?
Yeah.
No. What, Barkley wasn't on the top 50 yesterday, last year.
He is on the squad this year, but he wasn't last year.
This last player, which is probably somebody in the chat already got it. Is on the squad now. He was not on the squad last year, but he was in the top 50 in merchandise sales last year.
So it's got to be Devon White.
Nope.
Who the fuck?
You mentioned
Charles D. Gardner. It's not him.
Tough one.
That is a tough one.
You gotta think outside the box. I know someone is smart enough in the chat. I haven't looked at it.
Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett.
Get the fuck out of
here. No way.
Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett?
Now to step it up a level, can we guess which order the jersey sales were in?
Hurts, Kelsey, AJ, Devontae, Pickett.
Okay, I'll let Prime pick up off where you were wrong. Right now it's Jalen Hurts is first, Kelsey is second. Who is third from the Eagles?
Devontae Smith. AJ Brown.
You said Devontae Smith?
Yeah.
Correct. And then you said who?
AJ Brown.
AJ Brown.
Interesting. So Devontae sold more jerseys than AJ last year.
Yeah, which is also, again, topic of conversation. I think Devontae Smith, although he's a fan favorite. AJ Brown's a fan favorite too, but I think people love some Devontae.
I just love the reliability, man. Like, he's there every game. And, like, he's one of those guys that when the game is on the line, that's who I want the Eagles to be designing a play to, is Devontae Smith.
Hey, I didn't look at the comments yet, but whoever put Kenny Pickett in the chat is getting a fourth and John hat. First.
Get ready to send that across the pond.
First. First. Who said
Bob from Down Under?
Huh?
Bob from Down Under.
But you have to be in America.
You have to be in America. That's Todd.
Is it Todd?
Yo, Bob's going to lose his shit.
Was Bob first? He was?
Yeah.
Bob was first.
Was he? All right, Bob. Well, hey, we will give a fourth and John hat. Yo, that shipping and handling to Australia is like all the way down under. Come on now.
Meet me halfway. Come pick it up in Nepal or something.
Yeah. we'll give it to both of you guys. How about that? It was Todd?
Pickett came out of Bob first and then Todd, yeah.
See, the suspense was killing people. Yeah. I thought it would be a perfect way to end after all the talk, man. Bro, I'm going to be honest with you. I hate fucking talking about dumb content. Not dumb content, but again, we could make content of anything, but honestly, it is so early in the process. The process is processing. Mm-hmm. Like the amount of notes and observations we've got off of how many minutes of practice.
They're trying to divide us. We need to stay together.
We gotta stay together. We gotta stay. I do feel like Philadelphia media, not Philadelphia media, I think sports social media is getting to a point where we're getting smarter. Would you agree?
Yes.
I would think so. Well, I mean, yes. Also with the think about reporting back in the day versus now, like kind of, I feel like back in the day when there was no social media, it was, I mean, the reporters were the gospel. They were the only kind of liaison between the team and the fans. And now with social media, you could hear what players are saying directly. They could just post something on Twitter. Stories can also just pop up out of nowhere. I don't know. I think that it's a much more faster flowing and murkier waters than it used to be.
Like, I feel like Eagle fans, they expect more from our media. They expect more, just as much as we expect a lot from our players. They expect more from our media members. Like, shout out to Chris Franklin. I believe, just if I'm going to give a shout out to who is, you know, up and coming and like, Chris Franklin is a dog. Like, if you haven't seen his content, go to NJ.com and show him some love. There's other guys that have been there for years, but I'm just saying, I'm not singling out Chris, but he's done a great job of never putting himself in a light where it's like, bro, did you really ask that?
Yeah.
You know, like there's at times when you'll watch a presser and someone will say something, you're like, who said that? Like, who said, who, yo, get the transcripts, who said that? Mm-hmm. I think who had the question last year? Was it Rube? Asked the question that was way out of pocket, and everyone, I mean, social media will let you have it.
Yeah, no, and I mean, they need to be held in check as well. I mean, that is the one part that is nice about social media, is that, like, you're able to, if someone goes out of pocket, the fan base is going to let you know. But then there's also, I don't know, I feel like there's also the bad end of that where things get blown out of proportion. Which I was guilty of.
Shout out to Elena, who just made it in the chat. Like, what you missed in this show was a...
You were getting missed by...
Yeah, someone in the chat was shouting you out, but what you missed was a talking of the minds of about Jalen Hurts and how he answered a question. You know what I'm saying? I would have thought some crazy shit happened when it's like, yo, did you hear Joe DeCamera, what he said about Jalen Hurts? And I'm like, about what? The presser? Okay, we're going to be talking about it.
But, you know, while we're kind of on the topic of, you know, pressers and bad relationships between player and team, you guys want to talk about the Jets real quick?
The Jets?
Yeah, the old Big Ben we used to have.
I'm sitting back on that one because it's like, I want to say, I told you that man ain't trying to play for the Jets. I told you.
Hassan hasn't been showing up to anything. Yeah. And apparently Saleh is saying that his absences are not excused and that he isn't talking. And messy. You just joined the team. It's kind of messy.
My thing is it's
bring him back.
What I mentioned before he signed there is that the smart thing for him to do is not play. If he doesn't have to, like, if he has to force some way, he has to force his hands and his leverage into more money. Like, you have to play this card if you want to get that guaranteed money. And it's not pretty, but when you have to use your leverage, you use it. So,
do you think that this is CJ GJ 2.0, where we give him on a rental this year? And then he could potentially come back next year.
And then if that happens,
I'm gonna say quicker, sooner. I'll still say it sooner. Holding on to my jersey because
imagine Bradbury sooner. and some crumbs for Son.
Man,
hey, imagine if they traded him back. We're like, oh, we'll trade him back to you for a fifth round pick because he's disgruntled.
Yeah, the one that we acquired on day three. Yeah, I'm in.
I mean, the stuff that I've heard, stuff that I've heard about Hassan's situation is they're like,
all right, let me ask you a question. Gun to your head. You want Hassan back or you want Justin Simmons?
I want Hassan back.
Oof, that's a tough one.
I want Hassan back.
I love Hassan and everything, but Justin Simmons would be nice on the back.
Justin Simmons is nice, bro, but I mean, the people that we got lined up.
Yeah, obviously, I love Hassan. I take Hassan back in a heartbeat. Like, yeah. Everyone, where do we keep hearing Matt Judon to the Eagles? Content creators, I have been putting Matt Judon to the Eagles in a potential trade. Like, why? Where are you hearing that? Yeah. I've got it from a couple people.
Interesting.
I know you crazies have probably heard that from somewhere. That's not happening.
Yeah, if we got Hassan back, bro, that would be crazy.
Yes.
Yo, everyone's loving the idea, but you think that's not happening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Maybe.
Don't sleep on it, bro.
Isn't what's it called too? AJ or what the hell is his name? Aaron Rodgers is also not showing up to camps too, right?
I haven't even heard about that.
I haven't heard about that.
There's quite a bit of people around the league that ain't showing up to camps, but you know.
Andy said he heard from, shout out to Philly 500. I was texting him the other day. Is it a rumor or just people making it up? I heard it. I saw it on YouTube. I did not see it from Philly 500, but I've heard it around.
What rumor?
Matt Judon, I don't see that happening. Didn't he just get paid?
Did he?
Get me Calais Campbell, Justin Simmons, call today. Perfect veterans. Before we get out of here, want to give a big shout out to Philly Sports Trips, Bud Light for holding tailgates down all these years. Big shout out to Tina and Concha Hawk and Italian Bakery. Gotta love it. Shout out to Red Bull for giving the tailgate wings. Like I said, Bud Light for holding us down. But before we get out here, I would like give me your a take from your chest. A hot take. Maybe a hot take. It could be any topic. Before we get out. This isn't your last word, but a hot take that you feel like you need to get off your chest. Like, it could be nuts don't belong in beer. Evan?
You think that's a hot take?
That could be... don't belong in beer.
I'll stick with something similar, because I want to stick in the ballpark. First of all, hat tip to the Phillies. They are absolutely scorching right now. But I got a beef that's years long that I got to settle with some ushers in from Citizens Bank Park. Listen, I was buying tickets to watch this team when there was 14 people showing up. And I was getting tossed out of empty sections for not being able because I had the wrong ticket. I would buy ticket in the door and I would try and go sit front row because the entire section's empty and get tossed out of there for that. That's some bullshit. I think that you got to let if the team's doing badly, let the people sit where they want to sit.
Did they toss somebody out for sitting somewhere?
They tossed me not out of the thing, but they're like, go to your seat. I'm like, the entire section's empty. I can't sit here. Like, nope.
Oh shit! Wow, I thought about that the other day, getting a standing room only ticket.
Yeah, no, they'll toss you the hell out. It's bullshit.
Really?
Yeah.
But what if you sit up high?
I mean, the whole point of what I was trying to do was sit in better seats than what I had tickets to. It's just.
But did you do something? Did you do something to make it obvious by any chance or anything like
just
that?
Just walk down and sat down, and then as soon as I sat down, I see two ushers following me down, and I'm like, oh, I know what's going on.
Look at him, Frugal Gang over there.
Frugal Gang,
This guy. We see him on the interwebs crying about the Eagles.
Put a better team out there. what the fuck? You could get the Phillies when they were. They were the worst team of baseball. I want to pay $13 to get in the stadium, and I can't just go sit wherever I want. There's 150 people in the stadium. I can't pick where I want to sit.
I think that take is. I agree with the take. Yeah. I agree with that take. Prime, what is your biggest take right now? It could be anything.
Man, you know what? The one thing that I'm just kind of like getting tired of is. I don't know. Probably going to catch some shit about this. If you guys want to come at me, DM me, holler at me. But this whole Caitlin Clark thing is just like really starting to get out of hand, man. Like, let them just play the game. She's a very talented female. Shout out to the females that got the skill sets to be in the league and everything. But I mean, like, they're just taking this whole thing, like, they're just taking everything left field, players that are playing against her, players that just might want make one obvious comment and they're just blowing it out of proportion. Like, they're really starting so much shit between these females. Like, are they trying so hard to turn the WNBA into the NBA of the 90s and 2000s, where then now they want them to start beefing and start throwing hands? Like, it's just ridiculous, man. And because she didn't make the USA team, I'm actually okay with it. She has a bright future ahead of her that I feel like she's going to go ahead and make that team the next time come around. It's an opportunity for somebody else now that's at their prime to put in that work to go ahead and be in that spot. So I'm just like tired of hearing all the negativity. Just let them go ahead and play the game and stop blowing this shit out of proportion. Like, I'm just, it's just like, it's just, it just seems like it's the headline every fucking day.
Yeah, I do. You know, being I'm a UConn Husky fan. Shout out to Dan Hurley for not going to the Lakers. But you, the UConn girls, man, like growing up in Connecticut, you didn't really have no pro teams. So, you know, I have my Eagles.
I thought you said no protein.
No protein. No, and no protein in Connecticut. No, but I had the Eagles, and I had the Sixers, the Phillies, and I had the UConn Huskies, and the girls team, the girls basketball team, has been dope forever, dude. Like, and yeah, like I saw it from the beginning. The first team that was legit. I've been a fan ever since of the whole program, to be honest. So I just think women deserve all that the extra eyeballs on the game, which is great. You know, I just think, you know, just enjoy it. Like, I mean, a lot of people are watching it. Whatever, if you needed to spice it up, well, now you spiced it up. You got more eyeballs on the game. That's great. That's great. Anthony with a shout out to Diana Russini. Bro, I don't even know if I have a say with your chest take.
This was your idea.
it doesn't
guy, have, guy so, hits us so, out of nowhere.
I got one. Say what you chest. I think working in the office after working from home in the pandemic, everything I find like I don't get anything done in the office.
100%, dude. I'm way more productive at home. Like, my internet's way better, and they make me go there.
True. Yeah. You know, I go to work, and people are talking to me about my day or my weekend, and like I'm here to work. I don't want to be that guy, but I'm just saying, like, I get way more work done at home. Same.
Nah, I'm in the same boat. I'm the same boat.
That's my hot take. I can't hear you, bro.
Kids and a wife, you be talking a whole lot different.
Hey, man.
Just saying.
My lady and my cat are at home, okay? So I got to – I'm here.
But I'm just saying.
Man. I was out here weeding on my lunch break, dog. Okay?
I would be doing triple the work, you know what I mean? Trying to keep my son entertained, my daughter entertained, wifey entertained. And then, of course, doing work, yeah. I'm going to the office.
But shout out to Tim, who went to a wedding for his homie that was the Eagle fan out on the West Coast. Shout out to Hollis. Saw Hollis at we were at Ron Jaworski's event, which is my first time. Shout out to Vince. He hit me up with a ticket. It was my first time at a Ron Jaworski event. He was a super nice guy. They did a bang up job with at the casino with that event, but it was cool seeing all the. Saw Mike Mamula. I kind of forgot what Mike Mamula actually looked like. FedEx was there. There's a lot of random Eagle people that you forgot of. There was someone else that I saw him. I was like, yo, I know who that is. And I still don't. I can't even remember who that was.
Reno Mahe.
Nope. I could be like, he was a darker skinned black player. He could have been a DB. He was hanging with Fred X though. I can't think of the name, bro. I can't think of the name. He was darker complected. All right.
Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, but shout out to Ron Jaworski and his event. Anthony, he said something changed from that pandemic, people finding out that the office is overrated.
Agreed.
He agrees. But last take before we get out here, Prime.
Just want to give a shout out to all the fathers out there. Father's Day weekend is coming up. Make sure y'all enjoy yourselves, lay back, you know what I mean? But then on Monday, it's right back to the duties. But everybody be safe, you know what I mean? keep the positive. Don't listen to Evan. Keep the positive. Go Birds.
Question everything. Dig down every rabbit hole. No. Yeah, I think that it's June. I think that I am just as guilty as these radio stations. As maybe I'm overthinking things. I just go back to the thing where I talk about it's the scars of the past. It's hard not to think about these things when I've seen similar things happen and them go south. But yeah, I just want to, you know, piggyback off of Prime. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Happy Father's Day to my father. And, you know, have a great weekend, everybody. Treat the dads right.
Shout out to Nick Foles for being the father of
Tom Brady.
His son, Tom Brady. Happy Father's Day to him. You know, that meme comes every Father's Day. So expect it on Father's Day. Shout out to, I don't know. Shout out to everyone in the comments. Appreciate you guys sticking around. Obviously, it's the dog days of Eagles content summer. I think Eagle fans, you know, you guys are smart enough to know that what is clickbait and what is not. Sometimes we love a good conspiracy theory. We just can't say some of the stuff we've heard, but we've heard stuff. Well, it gives you perspective. It gives you perspective about this team. And again, it's a team that we love. And it's a team in its culture we love. We want to see this team come together in the offseason. And I'm ready for some real practice. And I'm ready for some real games starting in Brazil. We'll see you guys in the next one. As always, fly, Eagles, fly.